Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
So God says, pray. And then he goes on down here and he says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it doesn't just come right out and absolutely say this, but what Paul is inferring here is this. If we pray, we will be able to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the knowledge of the truth. But if we don't learn to pray, then there are some people that are never going to get saved and some people ain't never going to see the truth. He said in verse 1 to pray for all men, and then in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. So he's saying this, some of them ain't never going to get saved if we don't learn how to intercede and pray. Amen. Amen. That's scriptural. I'm teaching you the truth. That's absolutely scriptural. He says, who will have all men to be saved? Pray for them. Why? Because God wants them saved. And so he is implying here, the apostle is implying here by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that if we don't pray, some of them ain't never going to get saved. And if we don't pray, some of them aren't never going to see the truth. Why? Because the God of this world, the devil's going to blind their minds until they hit bottom. And even though God is long-suffering and God is patient and God is not desiring anybody to perish, God still demands repentance. And if repentance doesn't come in that space called grace, then people will die and go to hell. And the church will have a responsibility in that. Give me a good amen. See, we hear this stuff and we begin to understand Christianity is more than Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's more than just praying when you have a need. God wants us to get involved. Hallelujah. See, come on and get involved and recognize if we're going to see this tri-state change, this nation change, then we're going to have to get in there and pray some. We're going to have to begin to look to God and learn how to intercede and learn how to give up supplication and prayers and learn how to walk with thanksgiving. We're going to have to learn how to stand in the gap. And we're going to have to recognize, see, you need to understand something, folks. From the time, even a Christian, see, Paul said in Galatians 4:19, he said, my little children of whom I travail again till Christ be formed in you. What's he saying there? In whom I travail again, or I intercede again. In other words, he's saying this, the reason you got saved is I prayed for you. Now that you're saved, I'm going to pray for you again for Christ to be formed in your life. Isn't that right? Galatians 4:19 is a scripture. He said, my little children, that means he won them. He won them to the Lord. He was their spiritual father. He had birthed them into the kingdom. How did he birth them in the kingdom? Of whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. Again means he did it once before. So what did he do? He prayed until the blinders were taken off of their minds and they could receive the gospel. Then he shared the gospel and got them saved. Now he's got them saved. He needs to pray again because they're still carnal and he's got to get them over into the truth. So intercession got them saved. If there hadn't been any intercession and prayer, they wouldn't have gotten saved because Satan would have blinded their minds and it didn't matter who preached to them, they wouldn't have got it. And so Paul, who is writing here, says, if some of them, there will be some of them that will never get saved, and some of them will never know the truth, and some of them will never get saved until the church learns how to get over there and operate in prayer and get involved in the Great Commission and begins to get serious about bringing the kingdom of God onto the world. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to get serious. The Muslims are serious. Amen. They're serious and they're not tolerant. I'm going to tell you what. There are nations in this country right now. You go into the Sudan and it's the most dangerous place for a Christian to live on planet Earth because they will absolutely kill you if you're a Christian. They've taken people into slavery and everything else because they're Christians and sell them into slavery in other places. And there's other places in the world that they're, and it's not a skin color thing. It's because you're not following Muhammad and they don't want you around. And we better get serious. We better start understanding there's a spiritual warfare going on. And Satan desires to take over planet Earth. And he desires to take over the minds of human beings. And he wants to control your thinking. He wants to control your life. He wants to control what you believe. And he wants to take you to hell. He cannot stop you from getting saved, but he can sure make it hard on you if he can get a hold of your mind. He can't stop the plan of God. So what does he want to do? Take as many to hell with him as he can. He knows he's going to torment forever, and he wants you to torment with him. But God tells us that we have a job to do. And you got to understand something, folks. When the Lord told these disciples to take the gospel in all the world, preach the gospel to everybody, there wasn't but 12 of them. Actually, there's 11. They hadn't gotten the 12th one to replace Judas yet. So he got 11 people there that he's talking to. I mean, think of the momentum of this task that he's just given. I mean, just think of how great a task this is. Can you see the overwhelming feeling coming upon them when he said, now take this gospel in all the world and preach it and get people saved? 11. My God, what are we going to do? And they just killed you. He says, I'll tell you what you do. Wait until you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm sending the Comforter here in a few days. And when he comes, he's going to empower you. And then you can be my witness with power. And they're going to persecute you. And some of you, they're going to kill you. And some of you, they're going to throw in jail. And some of you, they're going to chase from one city to another thinking they're doing God a favor. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. And you pray and you witness and you preach. And you lay hands on the sick in my name and heal them. And you cast out the devils. And you do what I'm telling you to do, and I'll be with you. Now, if the Lord told them to do it, how much more is he telling us to do it? Amen? We've got to get involved. And one thing we're going to have to do is this. As a church, we're going to have to accept the Great Commission, and we're going to have to begin to pray, not just when we have a need, but we need to begin to pray, God, begin to move in our nation. Begin to move in our city. Begin to move in our tri-state. God, we begin to pray and intercede to pull the blinders off the people's minds. Amen? If we don't pray, there will be no revival. And I'm not talking about just a handful of people showing up at the prayer time before service or sometime is scheduled for prayer. I'm talking about the body of Christ understanding that you need to spend time in your daily walk with God in prayer. I think I was reading and somebody said the average prayer life of a Christian in America is 3 minutes a day. That's right. But I want to tell you something. Every place that there's been an outbreak of revival, there was a season of prayer. And not a season of prayer, just a handful of people in the church, but the whole church began to cry out to God and understand that we've got a great commission to fulfill. Look quickly over here to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Look what Isaiah has to say about this. Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 8 and 9. Isaiah tells us this. He says here in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 8 and 9, who hath heard such a thing and who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. In other words, he said, it ain't all going to happen at one time. You see that? It's not all going to happen once. You're going to have a season of prayer. For as soon as Zion travailed, in other words, when the church gets out of carnal praying and gets out of mental praying and gets out of the surface realm and gets on over. See, what he's talking about here is travail. You tie that in with John the 16th chapter. He talks about a woman with travail. She has great sorrow and great pain till she's delivered of a child. Then she forgets. But you see, he's talking about here, and you read travail, it's kind of like the birth pangs of a woman giving birth. I want to tell you something. The woman does not give birth until she gets into the depths of the travail. The baby doesn't come when she has her first contraction. Those birth pangs hit, and she has to dilate so far, and her body has to get in position to a point, and it takes time. And you know, and the first time you do it, it takes longer. Amen. I mean to tell you, you know, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Probably the first time you, some of you that had children, your first child, it took you longer to birth that child in. The second one came a little quicker. And if you had a third one, my God, my mom had six. And by the time she got to the sixth one, they couldn't hardly get her to the hospital from the time she felt her first pain. In fact, she almost was delivered on the elevator going up to the delivery room. Amen. I mean, it just kept getting quicker. Glory to God. And she was glad. Hallelujah. Well, you see, this is something new. And a lot of churches, the trouble is this. If you want to take that same scenario and you want to begin to draw the natural in as an example to the spiritual, then it takes a little more effort and a little longer for the first birthing. And so what a lot of churches do is this. Instead of staying with it until it's fully birthed, they get about two-thirds or three-fourths of the way into that thing or 90% into it, and then they don't really see the results, and so therefore they start backing off. And it ain't working. I ain't seeing the pews filled, and I ain't seeing people run the altar, and I ain't seeing this, and I ain't seeing that. Well, shall the nation be born all at once? It ain't going to happen all at once. But one day you wake up, bless God, and you've been interceding. You've been getting over there praying. See, an intercessor is one who prays for another, is one who pleads the case of another. So intercessory prayer is praying for others. It means I've gotten me out of the way. I'm no longer just praying for me or my needs, us four and no more, or mine and mine only. I've gotten out of selfishness now, and I'm praying for others. See, that's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2. First of all, see, pray for the God to move in your leadership. Pray for God to make the atmosphere good and conducive for revival. You see, if prices are high and the economy's bad and war's going on and there's upheaval and there's all kinds of problems, you can't get the gospel out. It's hard. Amen. See, if all of a sudden we have another gas embargo, it would hinder the gospel. The Great Depression, the economy goes crazy, inflation goes wild. I mean, my God, I know what it was like whenever those interest rates were 20, 21%. You couldn't afford it. I mean, my God, we were up in Charleston and end up, well, you know, David Joe had gotten the first loan and he got on a balloon thing and we went up there and it went on up to 21, 22%. We were paying the payment and after 2 years, we owed more money than we did when we started. And if God hadn't intervened, we'd lost the thing. I know what it was like. You can't survive when it's doing that. So God says, before you start praying for your needs, pray for your nation. Pray for your leaders. Pray for God to move in your economy. Pray for God to move in society. Pray for God to make it conducive to the gospel going forth and revival taking place. And then begin to pray for people to get saved. And when Zion begins to travail, when you finally get out of the flesh, when you finally get over there into that realm where you're consecrated and committed to God and Jesus is Lord and the Great Commission burns in your spirit and you hunger to desire to see people saved and healed and filled and the glory of God filling the temple. Then when Zion begins to come forth and she gets into the depths of praying for her people, then she'll bring forth her children. We've got to get to that place. If you don't, you're not going to see the full manifestation. But God says, if I can get a people. Somebody said, yeah, but he's talking about the rebirth of Israel when he talks about Zion. I beg to differ. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 18 through 24, he gives the difference there. He says, you didn't come to Mount Sinai that burned and fire and everything else could be touched. He said, but you come to Mount Zion.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.